been anticipating coming to Appleton and joining all of you here for almost a whole year. But it didn't become really real to me until I started to shed the keys of my former life. When I wrapped up my ministry at the UU Fellowship of Gainesville in Florida, I gave my keys back to the administrator because I didn't work there anymore. And I had to relinquish the key to a friend's house where I would use their pool even when they weren't home. I even gave up my key to the car that my spouse would keep in Florida, where she's still living for the time being, although I'm happy that she's visiting today. When Amy and I got into the car to begin the road trip that brought us here, there were no keys dangling from the ignition. The space above my knee felt strangely empty. I felt free, liberated. It was terrifying. I was full of anticipation for something I couldn't possibly anticipate. I had signed a lease in Appleton without ever having seen the apartment. Would it feel like home? What if a serial killer lived next door? What if there were no good shoe stores in Appleton? The empty key ring said it all. I was heading into uncharted territory, and my heart was full of awe at the journey. The Jewish calendar, I think, would approve of the timing of all of this anticipation and newness. This year, the High Holy Days, also known as the Days of Awe and the Jewish New Year, began last weekend with Rosh Hashanah and will culminate this Wednesday with Yom Kippur. I grew up in a Jewish and UU family. My mother is an Episcopalian turned Unitarian Universalist, and my dad is Jewish. The four of us, that includes my sister, are a multi-religious family. And so Judaism and Unitarian Universalism are entwined in my life, and I'm not always sure where one ends and the other begins. In the early fall, for example, when UUs are celebrating the mingling of the waters, Jews are practicing tashlich, another sort of water ritual. Tashlich, which literally means to cast away, to hurl, is a tradition that comes to us from the book of Micah, in which it is written, "You, O Holy One, will hurl all our sins into the depths of the sea." And so the tradition, enacted by Jews for centuries across cultures, countries, and continents, is to travel to flowing water, wherever it may be found, and to toss breadcrumbs into the water in order to symbolically cast away all the mistakes, errors, and misjudgments of the past year, and to thereby create space to begin again in love with a renewed commitment to respect and honor ourselves and those with whom we are in relationship. This, then, is a very auspicious time for me to set course for the coming year, and I sincerely hope for all the years that will follow. It's a perfect time to meet you, my new co-creators of religious community here at the Fellowship, because we are surrounded by a holiday that emphasizes the importance of living relationally, of understanding that we matter to one another, and valuing our interconnection highly. A personal story. When I met my now spouse, Amy, I knew right away that she loved me because she wasn't shy about telling me on our third date. And I knew very quickly that I loved her too, although I was a little bit more reserved. So at first, I thought that our love would allow our individual journeys to simply continue on unchanged, except by the favorable addition of a traveling companion. And this would have been gift enough. But something greater was in store. Slowly, a more tender realization came to me. We were doing something very different and more precious than traveling together as separate people. although we were doing that. We were also creating an entity larger than the sum of our two parts. We were becoming our own unit. Not just financially or logistically, but in the sense that our deepest priorities shifted to encompass and elevate the other one. Relationship with her family and their needs began to be as much of a priority in my life as relationship with my own family and their needs. Trips to see her nieces and nephews became as important as ones that were to see my sister. The shift deepened. We got married this summer, and at our wedding reception, I paused from the dancing and the milling about and the keeping the kids away from the cupcakes until the right moment. I looked around and realized something very specific had happened. It was no longer true that I cared about her family as much as I cared about my own true family. It was that in a very real way, her people had become my people. All the guests at our wedding were our people. I found myself introducing her sister as my own sister-in-law, someone with whom I had a relationship. And I overheard Amy calling my mom her mother-in-law, and I could tell how happy that made my mother. Our identities had changed shape by being in relationship. And without obliterating our individuality, while still preserving our own unique senses of self, they became transformed by a larger understanding. I was still true, but we became true as well. This is not something unique to marriage. Congregational life is like this. It also transforms us through relationship. As Unitarian Universalists, we often say that we come to our fellowships and churches for community. We seek community in that we come to make friends, to sing or hear beautiful music, for intellectual stimulation, because there is awesome children's programming, because we're lonely, we're curious, our friends invited us. Many diverse and valid reasons. But when we say that we come for community, I think we have to be clear with ourselves that we are speaking in shorthand. Community, yes. But what we mean is community with a purpose. In our case, a purpose that pulls us into a future with each other. If by community we mean simply a group that shares common characteristics, that's the most basic definition, then we might as well be a book group or a dinner club or a sewing circle. Belonging to a group or a club like that is great and can lead to all sorts of fine and worthy experiences. I know there are craft groups and book clubs here that so many of you love. Yet the specificity of a group like that is different than belonging to the fellowship, not better or worse, just different. If the only directive here was to dive into historical fiction or to locate the best ravioli within an hour's drive, then I tell you, we could have fun in a community like that. Count me in. But we would not be participating in something that implicated us in a journey to realize a larger vision. We would not have a mission that beckons us forward, a purpose to guide us down a path of transformation. When we say that we are mission-driven, all that means is that we know why we are here. The mission statement here is printed in the order of service, welcoming everyone, growing in mind and spirit, leading in social justice. Welcoming, growing, leading. All of those are verbs. They're action words. Mission is about committing to one another and letting our deep level of relationship move us. That's what transformation is. It's not a linear journey, but it is about movement. In Judaism, the worst mistakes and transgressions we talk about during the High Holy Days are those that jolt us out of right relationship, those that endanger or sever our capacities for connection to ourselves, to other humans and various forms of life, and to our sense of spirit or God. The key to what can make that right and help get us on a stable, ethical, connected course for the coming year is also the key to what makes us here a purposeful, mission-driven community. That key is paying attention first and foremost to relationship. I don't know what reasons may have led each of you to come to the fellowship that first, second, third time, but I suspect that if you have kept coming back, or if you're new here and plan to return, it is because in some sense you've wished to build relationship. Relationship with the fellowship itself, with the members, with the ministers, with the learning, growing, and serving you discovered or suspect might happen for you here. It's not just that the coffee is good, or Roger can really preach, or the kids love their RE teachers. Those things are true, I hope. But in isolation, none of them could have kept so many people coming back with such a deep level of joy and investment. When people choose to sign the book and become members here, they are promised that they will be cared for, and also that they will be called upon to offer care. This is the relational understanding that defines our community. And by definition, it is not something that can be accomplished alone. When we entrust part of our individual life journeys to the fellowship community by frequent attendance, by joining or pledging or volunteering, we are indicating that we experience life's journey as a truly collaborative endeavor. This is what is symbolically enacted at the mingling service each September, when people come with their own little containers of water and leave having merged them into one communal vessel. We're saying, maybe not in so many words, but no less certainly, we understand that we live in the company and companionship of others. This is a big place. You don't have to know the name of each person here in order for this to be a committed relational community. All you have to know, and it's quite a lot to just know this, actually, is that we are in this together, that we are cared for, and that we are willing to care for others. What a journey this fellowship is on. And I get to join it. I have pledged to travel with you all in whatever ways we will have each other. And my journey doesn't end with my arrival. I'm just starting out. I can hardly express my appreciation for how warmly you've welcomed me and how quickly you have invited me into your lives. You have allowed me to know and love you already. And I joyfully anticipate that our relationships will change. They will deepen and grow. One of my main tasks as your assistant minister will be pastoral care. Pastoral or spiritual care is about caring, offering help. It means that as much as I am able, I will listen to you. I will sympathize with you. And I will encourage you. This, too, is about the journey. Pastoral care is about traveling with someone into their own depths and into whatever life situation they may be facing. This work, and I say this without a hint of exaggeration, is the most humbling honor of which I am aware. It is also a task that we all share. There are many listening ears and compassionate hearts here. And so my job will not be to do it all by myself, but to try to make sure that we each get help and caring as we need it, and that we each get to help care for others as they need it too. The poem read by Marty pretended to be about those savory dark cups of scalding hot Arabic coffee. But I think that Naomi Shihab Nye is also telling us something about pastoral presence and the spiritual task of being a human being who is connected to other humans. The 100 disappointments and the dreams tucked like pocket handkerchiefs into each day, and none was more important than the others, and all were guests. When he carried the tray into the room, high and balanced in his hands, it was an offering to all of them. Stay. Be seated. Follow the talk wherever it goes. A motion of faith. There is this and there is more. Follow the talk wherever it goes. Sometimes we don't know quite where our journey will lead us. Will a serial killer live next door? What about the shoe stores? And then there's the serious stuff to anticipate. Will it feel like home? Will someone care enough to listen to me? Do I have gifts to offer the world? If I unlock my secrets, if I make myself vulnerable, will I be welcome in this community? Following the talk wherever it goes can launch a journey of self-discovery. This is the time of year to travel deep within yourself. Are you clinging to a belief or experience that is holding you back, keeping you from connecting more fully? It might be time to cast it away, to metaphorically hurl it into the water. The legend of Tashlik says that letting go of an old, stale idea about your limitations, or sprinkling a little forgiveness on a bad memory, or offering that one heartfelt apology that's been nagging to get out, could be the very key to unlock a new path forward. No path is perfectly smooth. There are always bumps on our journeys. But there are paths that take us right into the heart of relational terrain, where we find others who are working hard to fully realize a community where each person receives and offers care. So guess how I know that I'm really here in Appleton? Keys. I have one to my new home, and it does feel like home. And I have two to this new building here at the Fellowship, where it does feel like home. My own journey has brought me to a good place to join the collective journey of the Fellowship and its many programs and people. So many of us making our way together. It will be good to travel with one another. Amen.